Here's U.S. Ambassador to the UN, Samantha Power, speaking before the council.
To the Assad regime, Russia, and Iran, your forces and proxies are carrying out these crimes. Your barrel bombs and mortars and airstrikes have allowed the militia in Aleppo to encircle tens of thousands of civilians in your ever-tightening noose. It is your noose. Three member states of the UN contributing to a noose around civilians. It should shame you. Instead, by all appearances, it is emboldening you. You are plotting your next assault. Are you truly incapable of shame? Is there literally nothing that can shame you? Is there no act of barbarism against civilians, no execution of a child that gets under your skin, that just creeps you out a little bit? Is there nothing you will not lie about or justify?
Samantha Power, U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, speaking yesterday. You heard her go after Russia there. Russia helped broker the now-defunct ceasefire in Aleppo. But more importantly, Russia has been bombing eastern Aleppo on behalf of the Assad regime. Reporter Charles Maines is in Moscow. How did Russia respond to Ambassador Power's comments, Charles?
What we had were comments from, of course, Vitaly Churkin. This is the UN ambassador from Russia, essentially saying that, and I must say that Churkin and Ms. Power tend to face off quite often at the Security Council. And his argument was this was all fake news. These were fake videos that people were watching in terms of these final messages coming from Aleppo. And the whole thing was just a ruse. And he basically called on the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon to essentially look the other way on what he thinks are these fake reports of atrocities.
When the Russian government talks about Syria and Aleppo specifically, how do they talk about it?
Well, it's basically a 180 on the events as they're presented in the U.S. and Europe. Essentially, the key guy from the Russian side has always been a defense ministry spokesman. This is Major General Igor Konechnikov. He came out today and said that essentially the militants in Aleppo had been using civilians as human shields. Those are the 100,000 civilians that the Russians say were in eastern Aleppo. He's also said that the idea of these NGOs and human rights defenders and doctors and even these celebrated rescuers like the White Helmet Brigade simply weren't there when the Assad forces went into Aleppo, and that this was really just a terror campaign by rebels in East Aleppo, that essentially everyone had been a hostage. And as far as these other views that were coming from the West, this is what he called Russophobic hot air.
And what about the media in Russia?
Well, also here, it's I think Russians, in terms of the state media here, it's presented as a rather heroic campaign. In some ways, you might call it a good war. Russia is taking on ISIS terrorists. And so what they see is essentially a very functioning army carrying out warfare in a distant land to help a friend.
You've got Ambassador Power pushing back against the Russian alliance with Assad. Is there a sense in Moscow that under President Trump, the U.S. might actually be more on the same Syria page as Russia?
I think absolutely there's a sense of that, not just from what candidate Trump has said throughout the campaign, talking about how he wants to rebuild relations with Russia, but also looking at the team that's come out of the transition period so far. Take Rex Tillerson, the head of ExxonMobil, who's knows Mr. Putin personally. He's been awarded a state honor by Mr. Putin. I think there's a sense here that essentially it will be diplomacy is the art of the deal. There's talk of perhaps sanctions relief. Of course, Russia's faced sanctions for the past essentially 2 years over its invasion of Crimea and its annexation of Crimea. And I think there's a sense here that that might finally be coming to an end, and it's coming to an end at a moment where the Russian economy is struggling and could really use the boost.
Just as long as I have you on the line, there is also the CIA assessment that Russia interfered in our recent presidential election. I'm just curious if you could compare how that's being treated in the Russian press versus with Russian friends you talk to about it all.
Well, I have to say that it's been remarkably quiet here, given all the noise that's coming out of the U.S. about Russian involvement. I mean, officially, of course, the Russian government, including Vladimir Putin, have all denied involvement in this hacking, saying they had no part in it. Finally, we saw a comment by a foreign ministry spokeswoman saying, essentially noting that there were key splits in the assessment of the hacking by the FBI and CIA experts over the burden of proof. Mm. But I think just in terms of talking to Russians, there's a sense that once again, aren't Russians found guilty of everything, whether it's the downing of MH17, which the Kremlin denies, whether it's doping by Russian athletes, which the Kremlin denies, whether it's atrocities in Syria, which again the Kremlin denies. So there are those who say, you know, okay, even if there was some meddling, you know, what could we have really done to get Trump elected? It just seems a bit much to them. As one friend of mine said to me, you know, you can't blame the mirror for what you see when you look into it. And I think the point here being that, you know, Russia didn't create Trump. The forces that led Trump's rise really had nothing to do with Russia. The fact that they have benefited from that isn't their fault.
Charles Maines in Moscow. Thank you very much for your time, Charles.
Hey, thank you.